everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 9, episode 4. Could be our final season. We're yet to determine that. But I like saying that, giving you all a warning. But maybe not. I doubt it. We'll keep doing it. I don't know. I'm old. Whatever.
You always say that.
I mean, at this time. Who knows? I don't really think so. Anyway, like we do every week, the producers of the Radio Labyrinth show, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up to be a Patreon member, where you'll have access to our Patreon-only show that comes out every single week at any level, from $1 all the way up to $100 million. We just got a $100 million a month donor, and I'm looking forward to having $1.2 billion at the end of the year. I'll still send you guys pittance. I'm going to bury it in the backyard. Now, of course, we don't have that. But if you sign up at the $25 level, you get to be a producer of the show. And the producers, why, you get a credit, sort of like IMDb, but we're not on IMDb. But you get credit. That's cool, right? And then you get a T-shirt from our T-shirt store. And you also get a doodle from me. You can pick a drawing that I've already done, or you can have me create a customized drawing for you. And no matter what level you come in, we love all of you. But let's thank our producers right now. Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. You guys rock. And remember, if you are listening to this show or watching it on YouTube, where Dustin does an awesome job putting the show together each and every week, like us, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share it, leave a comment. And if you're one of those old school audio listeners, well, please, whatever platform you're on, rate and review us and leave comments and check out all of our social media posts, which you can find either in the notes of the audio version or on screen here on the YouTube version. And we do have a merch store. So Walter's back this week, or Wally Blanco, as I like to call him. Wally Blanco is back to share a little bit with you.
Season 9 of the Radio Labyrinth podcast is well underway, and I have a few ideas on how to make it better. First, you guys talk a lot about TV shows, but you never do deep dives on old shows. Don't you think a modern audience would appreciate your takes on classic shows such as Sanford and Son, Dallas, and Jake and the Fat Man? How about Airwolf, Manimal, Barney Miller and the Barney Miller spinoff, Fish, starring Abe Vigoda? Come on, guys and Steph, go out with a bang. I'll come on and talk about that shit. I can even talk about the time I met Charles Manson while horseback riding at Spawn Ranch. Think about it. Dustin, what kind of shit is in the merch store?
Our merch store is still going strong. We've got that sale with RLP123 at checkout. Gives you 10% off. So get those orders in and we'll get them out to you.
How are sales, Dustin?
They're brisk, Tim. They're brisk.
Oh, they're brisk? So let's tell everybody who Jason is, by the way. We have two guests with us. Jason's going to be with us through the whole show. Jason's been on the show before. We called him the kid. That's because that's what Steph calls him. But you guys are longtime friends, and we'll find out who you are real quick. But we also have a guest coming up later on the show, an up-and-coming rapper who's more than a rapper. I mean, he's a musician. He's a very talented guy. And his name is Stoop Lee. But Steph, take it away. Introduce everybody. Reacquaint the long-term listeners like Roby and others with Jason.
Oh, yeah. So if you listen to the show years ago, Jason was on. We've known each other since he was a child, and and we're still hanging out. So, and it's not weird.
Who said it was weird?
just saying. It's not weird. It's fine.
Okay good.
It's totally fine.
No, I don't think
nothing to look into. It's totally normal. So that's really all you need to know. And the fact that Jason is a, like I said on the Patreon, he's an encyclopedia when it comes to hip hop and rap, and I thought he would be perfect to help us out with this. Also, so we're not just a bunch of olds coming at this guy. I felt like this would help break
How
it
old
up.
Is he?
He seems, I think, to he's be like 29 or 30, maybe.
Yeah, he looked like he was in 30s, late 20s or early 30s. So he's the bridge between Jason's generation and our generation.
And Jason's an old soul anyway, so
I can tell that.
I'd say inside he's probably like 62.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That really becomes noticeable when I talk to people my age, for sure.
Well, their tastes are terrible. So,
All right, we're not even going to talk about the Bills. Everybody's done talking about the Bills. Jason, what football team do you root for, if any?
The Atlanta Falcons. I'm pretty loyal to my city teams. There we go. I'd love to see the Atlanta start to. But I would love to see if our offensive scheme we started to play like Detroit looked last Sunday.
I'd like the Falcons to get Bill Belichick.
We shall see.
Well, I thought Belichick's already taken the job.
I don't know. We haven't heard anything yet.
But
I like him, and I would like. They're talking about Kirk Cousins. Sure, it'd be great to have Kirk Cousins, but I think I'd rather have Justin Fields. Anyway, but the Bills choked in spectacular fashion. They're the team that gets you there. They edge you. And then just before you're about to finish, her dad kicks in the door and you have to leave. And it's been that way for a very, very long time. And that analogy is just, you know, think about it. Or sure. Maybe, whatever. You know, you're almost, you're just about there. And then, oh, wide right and ouch. Anyway, the Bills have been doing this to me my whole life. Those four Super Bowls in a row. You know, when OJ was on the team, A, I was too young. B, they never really had a very good team until Jim Kelly came over from the USFL. And then, you know, AFC championship game 5 years in a row. Four times they went to the Super Bowl and lost all four. And then in the fifth year, they lost to the Steelers, who went to the Super Bowl and got their asses kicked by the Cowboys. And then, of course, you had the Music City Miracle, the 13 seconds when Patrick Mahomes. Anyway, the Bills are done. The season's over. But I am rooting for the Ravens. I want them to end the nightmare that is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Enough already. Enough. We've had that. I'm happy for both of them. And I love seeing Jason Kelce drunk off his ass with his shirt off, hanging out with Bills fans in the parking lot. But I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Kansas City. Go away. It's time for the Ravens to win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl and lose to the Detroit Lions, who are going to beat the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs this weekend. And that's all I have to say on that subject.
That's the dream, anyway. That's the hopes.
Yes.
But the Bills, that was a great game, though, Tim. It was a great game.
Not really. Not if you're a Bills fan.
Well,
saw that with the few minutes left. They're going to tie the game up with Tyler Bass on a windy day in Buffalo. And the only thing in your head was wide right.
Well, and that takes us right into the fact that the poor guy, the kicker, he's getting death threats.
I know.
Yeah, they Ray Finkled him.
The kick.
Yeah. They did. Laces out, man. And then, like, the cat rescue is coming to his.
Does he live in Georgia? He went to Georgia Southern. That's why I made local news, is that. But he has what? What does he have? A cat rescue or something?
He's helped that cat rescue out before.
Okay.
And they saw that he deleted his social media accounts because people were going on there and, you know, telling him she was dead and they want him to die. And
imagine if social media had existed when Bill Buckner let that ball dribble through his legs in the 86 World Series.
I just want to say, kick it and go to Bill Stadium with that wind, with that head. I mean, come on now. I mean, it was a tough, it's not like it was, perfect conditions or whatever. It was pretty windy.
Josh didn't have to throw it twice. They could have run it a couple times. They just ran it. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's not Bass's fault that he missed that kick. It was very windy. And it was from a distance where he shouldn't have had to deal with that shit. Anyway, yes.
It's news, trailers, and friends with Steph.
You put the story in here about this Kansas City man who had three of his friends were dead in the backyard for, I don't even know. Like, how many days were they dead?
Well, were they in there, Dustin?
Yeah, I guess it was the weekend of the 9th.
Yeah.
And so it was sub-freezing there in Kansas City.
Yeah, because that's when the helmets got chipped and everything.
Yeah, because it was so cold.
Right.
And there were, I guess the stories come out that there were four or five guys at a watch party at this house, and everybody's drinking, and the guy who owns the house wakes up and looks around and everybody's gone the next morning, just does his normal, was there all weekend. He didn't leave or go anywhere. So a couple of days go by and then he walks out front and all their cars are still there.
Ooh.
And so he starts looking around and he finds three of his frozen dead friends in the backyard. I get, you know,
why were they out there?
No one knows. That's the big question, is what actually happened. To me, it seems like, you know, everybody goes out on the back to smoke or something, and maybe, and you've been drinking all night, and one guy has to get up and go pee. He goes in the house. It's nice and warm. He sits down. He goes to sleep. The other guys just pass out and freeze in the back.
Seems weird that all three of them would pass out.
I thought I read that they might have been drugged.
Yeah. The families started beating on the door, like after a day or so. They come looking for, you know, no texts were answered. They find their car is still there. They start banging on the door. He doesn't answer.
Yeah, he says his AirPods, he couldn't hear, and he had the fan.
There's something fishy going on.
Well, and he's a scientist too, so I think he cooked up something. I think he cooked up some little whatever and was like, I'm going to try this out on them. And oops, they died.
Yeah.
Why would they? Okay, so he didn't intentionally kill them. We don't know either way, but it seems
just strange.
Maybe he did kill them. Maybe they said something crappy to him that game, and he was like,
"Don't go outside."
Put a little fentanyl in your drink.
Yeah, Don't go outside and watch football in sub-zero weather.
Don't take a spiked drink from your crazy scientist friend that's invited you over. I don't know. That might also be a saying.
It was the salmon moose.
That's right. The salmon moose.
The salmon moose.
Okay, so Ryan Gosling is all disappointed that Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie didn't get Oscar nominations for Barbie.
Sure he is. Oh, I'm so disappointed that I'm going to win an Oscar.
Oh, they got nominated.
They got nominated for an Oscar.
They just didn't get nominated in the categories that people wanted them to.
The movie's not good. I don't understand why people get so riled up about it, like it was so great. It's not a good movie.
Greta Gerwig directed it, right?
Right, and she got nominated for adapted screenplay. She also did that. And
what about Margot Robbie? What is
she's a producer, so she got for Best Picture. She's nominated.
All right,
nominated for Best Picture.
It's because they're women. Because women never get nominated for Oscars in the Best Female Actress category ever. Never, ever, never happened. Greta Gerwig.
Margot Robbie, I don't know. Maybe, why didn't she get, I don't know. I don't care. Does anybody care anymore? First of all, there's 10 movies nominated for Best Picture. They've been doing that for a while. Who cares? Nobody cares anymore about your award shows. Gen Xers, we didn't care really. And then when they stopped making movies for us, we really didn't give a shit. And the boomers, do they care? I don't think so. Those generations cared. It was from a time when there were three networks and then, you know, maybe 50 channels. You still cared. Nobody cares anymore.
Do you watch any of these awards shows, DJ Jason?
No.
Have you ever? Were you ever interested in the Grammys, Emmys, Golden Globes, Oscars?
No, not really. I guess the Grammys over the movies, over, you know, the Oscars and Academy Awards and all that stuff, maybe, but
MTV Awards?
I don't think so. I would say maybe the Grammys, but I haven't seen the Grammys in, I don't know. I don't know how long. And I think a lot of artists are fed up with them too. So
right. They shouldn't televise them. They should just, or maybe if you want to watch it, you can, I don't know, pay to watch it on a stream or something. Just put the facts out the next day or send an email or whatever. Put it out on social media. These are the people who won. Thank you for coming. You know, people are, they're glued to the old Hollywood ways when it comes to that, but they hate everything about old Hollywood. And so, you know, people just don't care anymore. You got too many things to do. More people are watching TikTok for 3 hours in a row. You know, you watching your algorithm. Occasionally there's a girl and you're like, maybe she has an OnlyFans. Let me check. But other than that, you know, you're watching cats and stuff. And occasionally, and I'm not saying it's all the time or why it would even happen, but there will be a girl in your, she's cooking in her kitchen, but she's wearing a sweater and she doesn't have a bra on. And then she's like, and then you just look on the
What's happening? Where is this going?
That's what people tell me when they're looking at TikTok, that an attractive woman for no reason will come into their she's live. And then you're like, I wonder who this is. And then, you know, they click on them, they go to Instagram, and the Instagram has all my links and all that. And it's just a terrible, horrible thing to happen. They should ban it. But good luck to everybody nominated. I hope you win.
I think everybody knows how Andre 3000 put out this flute album. Well, the tickets are going on sale, and he's going to be starting his tour, I think, in Atlanta at the end of February.
Four nights at the Variety Playhouse, which is a
great, you know, so act. I don't know. I mean, like, you gonna go and listen to the flute for 3 hours?
I wouldn't even go if it was him. And well, if it was Outkast, I'd have to play a bigger place.
You gonna pay that ticket price?
How much is it?
$300 a piece.
No,
for the Variety Playhouse, $300 a piece.
Well, that's because it's small, and you know, you're gonna have people who don't know that he had and put an album out are gonna drop $300. They're gonna go there, and he's playing the flute, and they're gonna be like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he was playing with Kenny G, like they were like playing against each other.
Fuck no.
And Ron Burgundy, like all.
And Ron Burgundy. All right. Yes.
And the Jethro Tull tour.
Yeah, and Ian from Jethro Tull.
So that's a negatory. I don't think anybody here is going to go. I mean, as much as I love Andre 3000, I think I'm going to pass on his flute concert. And Jon Stewart's return to The Daily Show as the Monday host through the 2024 election.
And here's another thing that nobody cares about. Gen Xers watch this show. It was our show. I don't know who watched it with, who was his name? Trevor Noah. Did you watch it, Jason? Were you into Trevor Noah?
No, I didn't even, I thought Trevor Noah was still hosting it, but
yeah. See, it's not something that's important. There is no more appointment viewing for anybody because everything is on streaming services. Everything's on your phone. There's none of that anymore. I like the fact that some of these shows, and we'll get back to it, but I like the fact that a lot of these shows are dropping an episode every single week. So you get that feeling that I had where you have to wait. I like that feeling where you have to wait for the next episode. You can't just sit down and watch everything and, you know, get an embolism in your ass. But Jon Stewart is too little too late for this show. There's better places.
What's he going to do? What's he going to talk about? I mean, a parody. We're living
just
a parody.
For the election?
Just through the next year. So supposedly he's supposed to help us keep our sanity through this.
Oh, God.
I don't need him to help me. I know that there are two geriatric fuckers running against each other. I don't care. What am I supposed to do about it? You know, and then the next guy is 68 years old and he sounds like, I don't hate any of them. I don't want to talk about it. Politics is stupid. But Jon Stewart, you know, you shouldn't have left the show. And then it's going to be different correspondents throughout the week. See, what they brought Trevor Noah in. Trevor Noah wasn't funny. He didn't have the same sarcastic vibe that Jon had, right?
No, not at all. I mean, they've had Roy Wood Jr. He's been like filling
Roy
in.
Roy Wood Jr. is funny as shit.
Yeah. He's great.
But he's not the Daily Show.
Actually, a chick that I used to do stand-up with, they'll say Sloan, she's one of their correspondents now. And she hosted one night, but they didn't get to air it. I don't remember what happened. There was some reason why they didn't get to air it. And everybody was telling her they felt so bad for her because I guess she did a really good job that night.
Said I'm riding in my Nissan. Drive by me in my city and I probably thought a peace sign. Said I got an apartment, don't like it, but I think I probably resign. Said the days go by like the summertime, think I'm about to rerun. First seat's probably where you find me on the moon.
Welcome to the show, man. You know, I follow so many Detroit IGs and I came across your video for Hoop-Dee-Doo and somebody had tagged it like Detroit rap is changing. And I was like, I'm going to just see about that. And my goodness, I was so impressed. And, you know, being from the Detroit area, I'm from downriver. Mm-hmm. It's definitely different than anything that I have heard growing up there. And so I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And then I look and see that you play with like a whole band.
Yeah.
So anyway, we wanted to have you on and get to know you a little better and get everybody else to know you a little better.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me. I guess it's funny. I obviously tagged the video as Detroit rap is changing, meaning that, like, you know, these days Detroit, I feel like, is known for a specific style and a specific flow. But kind of what I bring to the table is obviously it's very inspired by, you know, Slum Village, Jay Dilla, those artists that have come before me. And to me, obviously, I said Detroit, even though people may have forgotten that that's what Detroit is, kind of so the roots are, you know, dating all the way back to Motown. But it's just kind of something I feel like modern Detroit music is kind of getting back to, or at least I like to think it's kind of getting back to that. You know?
Yeah, it really does. It's like the city has definitely went under a rebirth. You know, when I was growing up there and I go down there in the early 90s to hang out. You probably get stabbed in the throat walking from Greektown down to the Fist. But exactly. Now, it's like a mini New York. It's like a mini Times Square down there.
Yeah, it's the city's really coming back. It's really encouraging to see how much has changed in like the past like 10 years. Just like, yeah, it's really it's impressive. It's really impressive to see.
This morning, I was telling a story earlier that this morning I take my son to daycare every morning and drop him off, and he's 2.5, and he's obsessed with 2 or 3 Beatles songs that he keeps making me play. So I like the Beatles, I've loved them my whole life. I got back in the car after dropping him off, and I listened to a different Beatles song, and that Beatles song had a sample. The Beastie Boys sampled it on Paul's Boutique, which is 89, one of my favorite albums, any genre, just one of my favorite albums ever made. And they sampled it for Sounds of Science. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm in this mode right now. And then I started listening, because I'd listened to your stuff that's on Spotify. And then I started listening to it again. And I'm sitting there eating my Chick-fil-A in the car, and I'm blasting it. I'm warm. This is awesome. And then I just went down this whole path. And I just love the fact that I'm a 53-year-old dude sitting in a car outside of a Chick-fil-A eating, listening to like your stuff going all day long. And I just really dig the vibe. And the other day I watched the YouTube performance, you know, with your band. It's cool. You know, you're singing, you're rapping. It's just awesome. So that's why I wanted to let you know I enjoy it. We do have a younger person here to give us some credit.
Yeah, we didn't even introduce ourselves. I mean, I'm Stephanie Swain, which you know from us messaging. This is Tim, Dustin, yes. And Jason is, he is my friend who I have known since he was a very small child. And he is basically a hip hop rap encyclopedia is what I call him. So send him your stuff and he liked it. Jason's the only one that actually sends me stuff, new stuff that I'll listen to because I am old. And I don't really like too much. And I have noticed that about your music. It really does connect because I've been sharing it with my friends and they're all saying like, I love this guy. This is so great. So it really, for our age group, we're like, oh God, it's something new that I actually enjoy.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing it with people. You know, that's what I try and do. Like, trying to give like a fresh take on a classic sound. It's like sort of my whole thing. And honestly, the older stuff that, you know, I'm mad reference support in the 70s when it inspired me. Not that I'm not inspired by newer music, but to me, the older stuff is just so much substance and there's layers to it. And every time you listen to it, you kind of get something new from it. And that's sort of what I try to do with my own music.
Yeah, a lot of times in modern music, and mostly the commercial stuff, the stuff that's, you know, still on the radio, which is in, you know, my industry, I'm in talk, doesn't matter. But stuff that gets really, really popular is sort of disposable. And it wasn't that way, but it's evolved into being that. It's just a product and here it is. And every once in a while, if you step away from that and you actually seek it out, you find music that's still being made as music where there's an artist there. And then there's, like I said, musicians or somebody that's really talented at mixing or making something incredible. And I think any genre, it could be hip hop, it could be country, it could be pop music. If it's good, it's good. I don't know if you watched Sopranos, but there's an episode where a guy at Sopranos, the character Hesh, goes, a hit is a hit, and that's not a hit. More broadly than that, though, is that you can tell if something is, it gets with you emotionally. You know what I mean? And that's what music has always done, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I totally agree. Yeah, I'm trying to get more into the Sopranos. That's where I started it like last year. And I think I made it a few episodes in, but I gotta get back to it.
It becomes an obsession for some people, and it has been fun.
Jason, you just finished like the whole series, right?
I just went the whole series like a couple months ago, and it was great. I'll compliment you and then your music and roll that into a question. But Steph sent me your stuff, Stoop, and I was just like really digging it in terms of, you know, the live instrumentation. You know, your band that you work with, Cul-de-Sac, and watching the performance, and Hoop Doo is my favorite song, but
thank you.
Across all genres of music, right? But like in hip hop, there's always been this constant, like, I think Pac dissed Exhibit for saying something about being in it for the money versus being in it for the art. And I think like a lot of artists nowadays, no matter what kind of music you do, right, is like, what is your goal, I guess, with it? You know, like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I mean, of course, obviously, you know, every artist who makes music, or at least I guess I'd probably speak for myself, but yeah, I'd love to be able to, you know, get as big as I can and have the music reach as many people as possible. And also with music being so widely circulated and with it reaching a wider audience, of course that comes with, I'm sure, success and money and things like that. But I mean, the truth is that I just want to make great stuff that really inspires people in the way that my that like the artists that I look up to, their music inspired me. You know, so many artists like Kid Cudi, Kendrick, Kanye West, you know, just their lyrics specifically, but I remember going through college and they were just such a, it was just like the music, I was able to kind of like latch onto it, like the stuff they were talking about. It really just kind of like every single day, just like playing those same artists over and over again. I don't know, it's kind of like that's soundtrack to your life. It means a lot. And I want to, you know, do the same thing for those who are, you know, whatever they're going through or whatever goals they might have. It's like, I want it to be an encouragement to anyone to, you know, continue to keep going, whatever your goals or dreams are. Just a way, just I guess, soundtrack to your, whatever your journey might be. That's kind of like my goal. And if money and success comes with that, that's like icing on the cake. But if my music can inspire people, that's kind of like the first thing that's most important to me, you know?
How do you get it out there? Is it all social media now? Is that how you get to, I mean, you go around Detroit and put up signs and do shows and stuff like that and build your own local audience. Mm-hmm. Never going to change. But to get nationally, there's no, I mean, it's not just a funnel from, you know, to radio, to MTV. There's so many different ways. You got to get Spotify, TikTok, Instagram, stuff like mm-hmm. that. How do you get mm-hmm. picked up and how do you get other people in the industry to go, oh, I like this, I'm going to share this?
Oh, I feel like a lot of it is more so just trying to get the eyes and ears of the people, you know, like in the past, like 5 months, that's where I've really seen the most success and the most, I guess, the increase in terms of the attention that I've been getting to my music. But that's just been through kind of exploring that and just little video clips that's super fun, videos, music. And if you get the people, if enough people are, you know, looking at it and sharing it, that are trying to get the eyes of the industry. And the best part is too, like, I mean, I always say this to artists, and, you know, so many artists are trying to figure out the best way to promote themselves and if they should run ads, if they should, you know, put money behind it, like where should you spend your money as being an artist? It's been completely organic. And not one of my videos has been, I haven't used any ads at all. It was been completely organic. And when something really resonates and it's that good, or I can't even say that good, but it's just that something that really resonates with people, they'll share it themselves and then it'll organically grow that way. So I feel like this really, knowing what the channels are to put your quality music or quality content or art on, that's probably the hardest part these days that any artist needs to figure out, like, where are the eyes at? Okay, let me package myself so that way it's digestible on this thing. And then once from there, they'll get into the long form content that I have and they can really dive into this world that awaits them after they, you know, had a civil taste of it on whatever popular platform they might have seen it on, you know?
Oh, I want to know, can you help me beef up my LinkedIn profile?
Why do you say that?
I mean, because that's what you're doing. I mean, you're still working. You're 9 to 5, right?
I am. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That is my, yeah. At 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. That's where I'm at.
And how hard is it for you to, you know, do that type of job and then switch that off, go into creative mode? I mean, I can only imagine the reason why you haven't completely blown up is because you are still working and you're not touring the country.
Oh, yeah, that could, yeah, that's probably part of it. But, you know, how the show did you enjoy having album trans players? Like, by too, I've been with, you know, companies who advertise on LinkedIn, I have ad campaigns and show them how to build their audiences. So I think maybe just my approach to even my own stuff and how to market has definitely been influenced by like my day to day. So it's not as draining. It's kind of like, all right, I'm working, you know, on this part of my creative, you know, brain, which is the marketing side. And then outside of work, it's okay, here's the creation part of it. Here's the actual product. And then it's like, okay, based on what I've learned at work, let me see how I can maybe apply this to, you know, getting this art out, what I'm saying. So I feel like it's definitely helped. And they're super, you know, of course, like my job itself has been super, you know, supportive. They, you know, they really like the fact that I do music and they always share in our, you know, work group chats and stuff like that. So it's, as far as jobs that aren't draining the creative out of me, I think it's a really, I'm super blessed to have it, to be able to kind of help it augment what I'm already doing outside of there, you know.
When the time comes though, LinkedIn is going to let you hit the road for like 2 months and then come back if you want.
Sponsor your time.
I mean, my job is remote, so I definitely take your computer with me just during the day, working at night, playing a show during the day, you know what I mean? So
you'd be like,
like,
What was the story behind getting the Cadillac ad?
Yeah, for sure. So are you guys familiar with Assemble Sound?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
So Assemble is like a Detroit artist label collective type of thing. They do a lot of sync work. So like that's like music for, you know, TV and movies. So they have artists that are pretty much signed to them, or their music is in their catalog, and they'll pitch stuff to like different, you know, music directors from movies and television and stuff. So my friend Garrett, who's like one of the founders of Assemble, he reached out to me, I think it was last May, like in spring. I was actually in a studio session with some of my friends, the Hard Dark Kids. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but we were working on the most recent record, and I got a text. It's like, hey, you're going to get an email from this talent agency about a Cadillac spot. Make sure we don't fall into the cracks. Stay on the theme. I'll be perfect. So I got the email, and we're talking back and forth. We have a whole Zoom meeting. They tell me the whole idea. Of this campaign they're working on, and the new XC4 that's going to be in it. They said they were choosing between me and a couple other artists, and a few weeks went by. We were still going back and forth, renegotiating and stuff. And they're like, "Yeah, we want to fly you out and use your song." And it was the wildest, craziest thing that came out of it. So no, it's such a blessing. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. The whole trip in LA, I was there for 2 days. It was wild. While I was out there, actually, the night of the Cadillac shoot is when I ended up recording Cerulean City. So just a crazy full circle moment that this, you know, that whole trip has, I mean, really kind of changed my life in terms of the stuff that I've worked on out there and just kind of the exposure. It's been wild. But yeah.
I love Cerulean City. I love it so much. I do that, the chorus, that Head Underwater. That's such a great song.
Thank you.
And you just, of course, you know, I love the part about, you know, you're in Michigan and you're wearing shorts, even when, if it's 55 or 55 below, you're wearing the shorts.
Yep, exactly. People from Midwest, like that, I mean, that's those alarm specific Midwest people who know what it's like. As soon as it's 50, it's like, oh, it's so warm out, we're up this year.
I mean, Jason's from Atlanta and he's living in New York now, right?
Yeah, I'm up in New York now. It's getting cold the past couple weeks here. You mentioned the Hardcore Kids, and I know you got two records, two full length records, mm-hmm. with them, and an EP, if I'm not mistaken. How did that project come together in terms of like you initially meeting the other members?
Yeah, so one of the guys in the group, Charlie Bird, a super close friend of mine, we met in college, and he was on tour with this artist Tash, and during their Detroit stop, we're gonna hang out after your show, and we ended up going to a friend's place, and that was our friend Munch. And that same night, he happened to have our other friend, Leo, just staying on his couch. This is the first time he ever met Leo. And our other friend, Jacob, he said, hey, you should pull up. And then our other friend, Austin, we all just happened to hang out that night. And we're just like, since we're all musicians, hey, let's make some music. And then we started making some songs. And we're like, this should be a band. Let's be a band and, you know, make this a thing. So we just made a bunch of songs that night. And we're like, yep, let's just keep it going. And call this Hardcore Kids. And we called it Hardcore Kids because it sounds like Carhartt, we love Carhartt, so we're like Hardcore Kids, and we just know that was how the group is born.
Well, I wanted to also know, like a lot of the time, hip hop and rap, they're always categorized as East Coast, West Coast, Beast Coast, even for Texas, Dirty South, but the Midwest, all you say is like the Midwest sound or whatever, and. Mm-hmm. If you could name like what the sound is there, what would you call it?
I would call it mid-best.
Mid-best. I like it. Mid-best, because I was thinking either river rap or lake effect. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Those are great names. Yeah, definitely great names. Yeah.
No, I like yours. But, yeah. Yours is better. Mid-best. I like that. Mid-best.
That would be the Buffalo rap scene. Yeah. Buffalo, the burgeoning Buffalo. There's nothing going on in Buffalo. Do you pay attention to, you know, Atlanta artists and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, Outkast and now Andre 3000. He's not doing anything in the genre. He's doing his own thing. And he's being an artist and doing everything. Do you think you'll ever get to the point? Is that your goal to reach the success so you can do whatever you want to do musically? Because you have a lot of musical roots going back to your childhood. So there's probably things you haven't explored yet, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure, like, I've thought about this, you know, way down the line. I had aspirations even outside of this making music period. So I would love to, like, make it my own cartoon and, like, score the cartoon. That's kind of like when I'm, you know, where I'm an old and gray, not even that old, but just like where I'm feel like I was challenging myself, but it was like a household name. Making a cartoon, I think, is like the big thing for me that I would love to do.
And living in an era where when you feel like you're ready to do that, you can just do it and you can put it out. Mm-hmm. You don't have 100%. To go to a studio and go, here's the show I made, and have them go, well, I don't think that's good. No, you put it out. And you know, that's the way people do things now. And I think that's the freedom that artists have in a way that they never had before.
On the downside, everybody else has that ability as well. And that too can cause a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the internet, you know, everybody has access to doing stuff, and it's a bit harder. It's like media quality, but that's why you just gotta make better stuff so it stands out. You know what I mean?
I wanna know, what does it feel like in the city right now with the Lions doing what they
I've never seen a city like this. I've never seen a city on one accord like this. Like, it's honestly the beautiful thing to see. Like, over on Sunday, you could look at the skyline in Detroit, and like all the big buildings had whatever signage they had. It was all blue. Like, it was amazing. It's so cool to see what they're doing one game away from the Super Bowl. And I think we can get that. I think we can do it. I really think we can make it.
I think we can too. And you know, Usher's doing the Super Bowl halftime show. Who from Atlanta do you think he's going to bring out, or who would you like to see him bring out?
I mean, he's got to bring out Lil Jon and Ludacris, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be they happen to be there. Otherwise, it would be a massive failure. But yeah, definitely those two for sure.
Think he'll bring out Bieber? Because he discovered. He did
discover. I feel like Justin's kind of like he's chilling. I don't know. I feel like he's
that weird. Yeah, I think so too.
He's always get sick with Huntington's disease or something. It's like he'll do a show and then he's got to go get an IV or something.
A dog has that. He told me.
Some kind of. Let me ask you, if the Lions made it to the Super Bowl and you could choose any Detroit artist, living or dead, to do the Super Bowl show, who would you pick?
Any Detroit artist, living or dead, to do the halftime show. If there was like a J. Dilla medley, if you could like bring a bunch of artists that he worked with, so he brings, you know, it's like his halftime show, but he brings like Common and Slum Village and Erica and all the people he worked with. I think that would be insane. So like a J. Dilla medley halftime show would be crazy.
I mean,
for people who don't know the importance of J. Dilla as far as like that sound, you know, I mean, his drum machine is in the Smithsonian. So yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize that even though Detroit's not known for that sound, that's where it came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally right. Yeah, that's one thing. Just that soulfulness is so deep rooted. And like I said before, you know, it started with Motown, and where Dilla kind of took it has influenced anybody who adds drums to their songs. Everybody's like, they're familiar with that drunken style. They're familiar with being in the pocket, and Dilla kind of like changed all that, you know. And it's wild. So dope.
I would think it would be Ted Nugent and Kid Rock, right?
Yeah. One of the most biggest crimes against music is that they ever called Kid Rock a rapper. My God.
You can debate whether it's good or not, but at least he tried.
He did. He tried.
Little Joey C that died was a better rapper than
Joey
C.
R.I.P.
I was going to ask, like, you know, if you, Stoop, had... If you were to give like your top, we'll just do top three in order of Detroit rappers, who would those be for you? Because I assume you're familiar with like Black Milk and stuff like that.
Of course.
He, I feel like he falls in that sound. I know Swain, I've seen his stuff over the years. He's super dope. So there's always been guys, but I feel like in the past, like that sound has maybe taken a little bit of a back seat in the past few years to guys who are dope in their own right, but are kind of more, you know, the... PZ and Icewear and Bezo, and I mean, you could even go back to the Doughboys, Cash Out, and all those guys. Like now that kind of sound that you have that still has the roots in Detroit. Like, yeah, I'd be curious to know your top three Detroit rappers.
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's see. I probably would do in no particular order, and of course, you know, much love and respect to, you know, Icewear and like T Grizzly and Doughboys, Cash Out, Payroll, all those people like that, but. For me, I would say Elzai's got to be on there. Elzai, amazing Detroit rapper. I would say I feel like people sleep on how good J Dilla was as an actual rapper. Like, if you listen to some of his stuff, like, his flows were insane to me, but he's definitely on there. And then after that, it's close. But yeah, I think I'll be going with Black Nova too. Honestly, he's on there.
Black Nova too.
Yeah. Amazing rapper. Yeah. What about the Honorable Mentions? What about who?
T-Bay.
How do I know T-Bay?
It's so cold in the D.
Oh,
yeah. That's right. Honorable Mentions, yeah, of course. Like, you know, classic.
such the classic.
It's a fun song. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the first virals.
Yeah.
I want to know, you are a fan of Nickelodeon, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you, did you watch a lot of animated shows? Did you ever get into Adult Swim?
I did, yeah. I went to both. I would say I was more into the stuff before Adult Swim. I mean, I took like Tom and Knight, but yeah, of course into both. Definitely into both. So.
Yeah, does any of that like bleed into your creativity? Is it more lyrical, or I mean, obviously the music, maybe not, but
yeah, right.
But inspires you from that, your childhood?
So I mean, I guess to talk to even just the Adult Swim reference that you mentioned. A big part of why I liked watching what they did was like the bumpers in between the cartoons. Like it would be like Flying Lotus and like a bunch of crazy just like producers. And that stuff was like stuff I would find myself writing and freestyling to when I first got started. So that was a huge thing for me as I got older, like adults, and the music that they are, you know, aligning themselves with is crazy. Like the whole, even though what, Danger Doom album with Danger Mustin, mm-hmm. Doing another Adult Swim, like, you know, stuff on that actual album. But yeah, that, and then just you definitely hear a lot of cartoon references just sprinkled throughout my music. I love mentioning any of those kinds of things, you know.
That's fun.
Yeah, you shout out Rick and Morty, I know, on one track.
Yep, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
I have to say my favorite lyric is "Chip on my shoulder, I'm better made."
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
The best. Yeah. They're hot, hot. Better made is the best chip in the world.
Oh, those chocolate covered ones got me for Christmas. My God, I couldn't.
Yeah, the chocolate covered Better Maids are out of the
Oh, that's right. Those are good. Mm-hmm. Definitely agree.
So speaking of food, though, I know recently viral TikTok IG food reviewers Keith Lee and Mr. Chime Time, they rolled mm-hmm. through the D. And what would be a good suggestion for them to eat? What would you say would be the best place to eat in Detroit?
Best place to eat. Honestly, I would say like just pick any taco spot in Southwest. You know, it's like, you know, Taqueria de Nacimiento, even the El Rey pop-up that happens. I feel like if you just go to Southwest and just like, you know, put your pantry at this point, any of those places would have, you know, fire tacos, great food. So I'm a big fan of the Mexican food, and the Mexican food in Detroit is so good.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Mexican town, so Xochimilco's, that's my mm-hmm. place. And mm-hmm. here everything's Tex-Mex. So it's not the same at all. And I had to figure it out. I actually asked the last time I was home, I was asking them, why is it different? Why is it so much better? And I was told that many of the Hispanic people that live in Detroit are from the Guadalajara area. It's a different style of food.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that. That's super cool.
So that's why the food is better. But okay, so any of the taco places around there. Southwest, that was my old stomping grounds. 94, Livernois, Central Michigan Ave.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, any of those taco spots, you know, big fan of all of them. They're so good.
Well, do you have a prediction for this weekend? 49ers, Lions, you going to be watching?
100%. I'm going to watch this week. You know what I mean? We got the dub. It's, we already got it. You know, we're going to Super Bowl.
What's the score?
The score, I think it's going to be, I'm saying 24-13.
Okay.
All right. Defense is going to have to 13. Treat him like they treated the...
Well, I mean, they've been taking kneecaps all season.
That's what I'm saying. They're fun to watch. I like watching Goff throw. I really enjoyed watching... I know you guys are going to hate me for this blasphemy, but I loved watching Jordan Love. The way he would get the pickle and then the ball would just go 60 yards in the air.
He's a great player. What can you say?
He is great. He really is.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, sat on his ass all year long doing McAfee.
Ayahuasca.
Podcast.
Yeah, doing podcast.
Yeah.
And, I'm so good, I can leave there. You're not missed. It was like when Favre left, you're not missed. Mm-hmm. But anyway, those are the teams I like, you know. It's like, I'm sick of Kansas City. I'm a Bills fan. So, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. Just the way it is, but I'm rooting for Detroit, man. I would love to see them, and I would love to see the Ravens, who've won a couple, but I'd love to see them play each other and have the Lions win. So
that would be great. Yeah. I don't know what happened in the city. It'd be wild. Yeah.
Awesome. Nobody cares about the Tigers anymore. It's time for the Lions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
What I thought was great, there was like a Tampa Bay crush down because the Tampa Bay Lightning played the Wings the same night, and the Wings beat them too.
Well, Stoop, thank you for taking time tonight to chat with a bunch of old farts. We want your music to
sound.
Well,
Jason.
Oh, Jason. He's an old soul. We're old farts.
But, we're all old souls. But yeah, thanks for having me. This has been amazing. Great conversation.
Yeah, enjoy your music. We'd love to have you come back on sometime. So when you're big and famous and everything, please come back.
See, I've heard this. Yeah, I had this whole plan that I would get this interview, right? And then I would send it to the Diallo. And then he would get you on Fallon. That's my goal.
Oh,
is that?
Oh, that's a deep. Yeah,
that's my goal because Diallo wrote for Fallon for like 7 years. So I'm hoping that he'll love you so much that he'll call Jimmy and he'll be like, you know what, you got to get this guy on. That's my dream.
Hey, thank you. That's my dream too. So thank you.
And then you'll just like let me carry your shoes or something. Just bring me along. Just somehow.
Yeah,
I'm in the 30 Rock building right now. I'll just go bang on his door and
play. Do it, Jason.
I'll put a speaker with your music on. Just place it outside. Walk away.
Yeah, I feel like the Quest Love program. So I feel like if we get like any Quest Love, like no more personal.
He would see in you. I mean, I'm telling you, I feel like you could just step right in with the Roots, and it would be seamless completely.
I agree. Yeah, that'll be a dream. An absolute dream.
Well, thank you again, man. I appreciate you. You're just like so kind, so humble, so cool. And I also, we didn't mention this either, but I noticed when I'm listening to your music, if you swear, I never heard it. And if you say, the N-word, I never hear it. And I just wonder, is that like a conscious thing with you to just that you don't want to rely on that?
That is funny that you notice. It's funny. Most people don't notice it. I don't really curse much, if at all. But I've definitely used the N-word before. typically, it's kind of like the way I see it. I guess in my normal speaking every single day, I'm not one that swears much anyway. So it's like, I feel like rapping, to me, it's very similar to how I speak. So it's like if I don't use what cursing in my normal language, it's probably not going to make its way into my raps as much, you know? But yeah, it's like if I feel like there's a song that I need to do it and I can't communicate whatever message or whatever story I'm trying to tell without using it, then I'll use it, I'm sure. But like up to this point, I haven't, you know, felt an actual need to use that language, you know, if I don't have to.
Oh, you actually write lyrics, which is really crazy these days.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely a punch in culture these days.
ChatGPT, please write me rap lyrics. Boom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
Thank you for getting Stoop Lee. That was fun. Hopefully the audio can be fixed.
Dustin always pulls something out of the bag.
Dustin makes it work. But thank you for getting the interview with Stoop Lee, dude. That was he's a real cool guy, and I encourage everybody to check out his music. Also, thank you to Jason for being with us. You impressed him with some of your questions, so I like
that. Jason, someday, I mean, like, what, you're going to business school in the fall, right? And your ultimate goal is to be like some festival king?
I don't know what the ultimate goal is, just not to be in a soul-crushing... I mean, this is very much the definition of a corporate... Like you look up corporate job in the dictionary and it's the Deloitte office here. I don't know exactly what that's going to be. Yeah, maybe something in live events. I don't know. I think that'd be a cool gig if it worked out to where I got to, you know, dream gig head of, you know, whatever, head of events for like, you know, whatever, the NFL, UFC, anything like any of those like larger organizations, like that'd be pretty cool. But
I don't know. I'll still trying to figure that out, but kind of just figuring out what I don't want to do, you know, kind of, it's just as important sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't want to do this job anymore. I don't want to do it. Your dad came up to me today asking me about pads for his foot, and I almost put a gun in my mouth and blew my brains out on the window.
He's always had a bad foot.
Oh, I love him. God love him. He's an angel of a man. He really is.
Thank you, Jason. I want to say before we wrap up, everybody, to check out Trambles, the audio-only podcast on the Radio Labyrinth Network that comes out on Mondays. A little griping this week, but that's okay. Check out the podcast on WSB. That's my pop culture show I do every Saturday, usually at 7 p.m. You can listen on 95.5 FM or 750 a.m. in town. If you live out of town, you can use the WSB radio app to stream it. And if you miss it, you can always catch it Monday in the podcast form, wherever you listen to podcasts. My guest this week, comedian Dusty Slay, who has a brand new special on Netflix that dropped on the 16th. I laughed my ass off. It was very, very funny. We had a fun time doing the interview. He's also coming to Atlanta on March 30th. And if you need a cameo, I'm on there at Tim Andrews here. Or you can check out our buddy Mark Schrankel, who's on there from I Am Sean Ray. Mark 001, get him to do Stallone or anything like that. And Shauna Ray's on there also. So if you have a family member or a friend or you yourself like the show, then get her to do a cameo for you. And we also want to talk about next week. We will dive in a little deeper on what we're doing with the bowling. It's a St. Patrick's Day bowling event at Bolero in Lilburn on March 9th. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Steph, anything going on with Barkville this week?
Not this week. I got my second training class with the foster dogs. We did pretty good at the first one. A lot of yahoos in there, I have to say. A lot of really, really bad dogs. Maybe they actually appreciate her. And there was a lot of really stupid people. Oh my God. I thought that it was so obvious why so many of these dogs had acted bad, because the owners were completely, anyway, out to lunch.
Yeah.
The next event, we're doing Caffeine and Octane out in Kennesaw, February 2nd. So if you can foster, please do. If you can volunteer, that would be awesome. If you can give us your money, that would be the best. So go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Keep it canine.
Canine.
All right. Any other unfinished business that we have to address? So we don't have staff picks or abuser snooze.
Dead.
Jeff will be back next week. Oh, my God. My central Pennsylvania, north central Pennsylvania. Jeff will be back next week. And we'll talk about our dinner that we had with Casper Kelly from Adult Swim and other places. And, you know, just a good old fashioned regular show. Thanks again to Stoop Lee. Thank you, Steph, for getting him. And fuck off, Dustin. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for putting it all together.
Yeah, and thanks, Jason. If we get any other youngsters on here, maybe we'll have you come back if you'd like, and then you can help us out again.
I'll be the bridge. Bridge it up.
Let's stop calling him the kid. We'll call him the bridge from here on out. Yeah, that's your rapper name, the bridge.
The bridge.
There we go. There we go.
All right, man.
Best of luck with your stuff, man. It was nice seeing you again.
Yes. Yeah, great seeing you. And I hope I see you next time you come to town.
For sure.
All right.
Put your sweaty stuff.
Keep it.
Keep it. Keep it.